All right, good morning and welcome to church today. Thanks for coming to WCC. I've got a quick announcement. Our quarterly congregational meeting is coming August the 28th after church. That's in 2 weeks. So if you're on the voting roster, we need you to make special note of that and be here for that meeting. The minutes and financials are located on each credenza. Pick up a copy of those before you leave. And then at that meeting, we are going to vote to include Michael and Steph Lovelace on our voting roster. Michael's right there. Raise your hand, Michael. Okay? Michael and Steph, if for some reason you don't want them on the voting roster, speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay? We're going to vote them in. In 2 weeks, the elders are recommending them to be on the voting roster. All right, let's take just a moment of silence to sit consciously in the presence of God and let Him be with us. Let's be silent. Father, thank you for loving us in Christ. Amen. All right, as you know, we're in the second section of our series called The Jesus Hippie. And in this section, we're examining the life Jesus offers to those who believe and abide in Him. He's referred to this life as living water, bread from heaven, setting us free from bondage to sin. And this morning, Jesus will refer to Himself as the light of the world, one of His great I am sayings in the Gospel of John. John 8, 12 through 30. John chapter 8, 12 through 30. Just listen as I read through this passage, and then we'll work our way through it together. John writes, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' The Pharisees challenged Him, 'Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid.' Jesus answered, 'Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for Myself. My other witness is the Father who sent Me.' Then they asked Him, 'Where is your Father?' 'You do not know Me or My Father,' Jesus replied. 'If you knew Me, you would know My Father also.' He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized Him because His hour had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, 'I'm going away, and you will look for Me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come.' This made the Jews ask, 'Will He kill Himself? Is that why He says, where I go, you cannot come?' But He continued, 'You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you?' they asked. 'Just what I've been telling you from the beginning,' Jesus replied. 'I have much to say in judgment of you, but He who sent Me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from Him I tell the world.' They didn't understand that He was telling them about His Father. So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on My own, but speak just what the Father has taught Me. The One who sent Me is with Me. He has not left Me alone, for I always do what pleases Him.' Even as He spoke, many believed in Him." Look at verse 12. "When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Now, we're told later in the narrative that Jesus was teaching in the temple treasury. And the temple treasury was located in the court of women. And every evening, during the annual festivals, priests entered the court to light four giant chandelier lampstands. These lampstands stood 75 feet tall. And young priests would climb ladders to fill them with oil and light them. According to historical accounts, the light from these chandeliers reflected into every courtyard in Jerusalem. They put off a lot of light. It was a grand sight. Perhaps, as the priests were lighting these chandeliers, Jesus made his bold proclamation, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus compares himself to light. Light illumines and shines in the darkness. It exposes the contours of the landscape and provides the sight needed to live in the midst of darkness. Without light, darkness keeps life hindered, cornered, and restricted. The symbolism is clear. Jesus offers light, life, and celebration in the midst of darkness. The Lord's life and teachings provide the light we need to find our way to the Father, even though we live in a dark world. Jesus is the light of life. Well, there are some Pharisees in the crowd, and one of them pipes up, verse 13. The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." The Pharisees, trying to convince people that Jesus is not who he claims to be, use a principle from the law courts against Jesus. And in a court of law, the testimony of at least two witnesses was required to establish the truth. And the Pharisees call Jesus on it. He's the only one claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man. His testimony is his own. It's not corroborated by anyone else. No one can say for sure that Jesus is who he claims to be. Therefore, no one should believe Jesus. The Lord's response to them is bold in verse 14. Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going." In other words, Jesus knows who he is. He knows he came from the Father and is going back to the Father. His identity is clear. And just because the Pharisees don't know where he came from or where he's going doesn't mean he doesn't know. He has a clear understanding of himself in relation to God. He knows who he is and what God has sent him to do. And Jesus knows who he is and will not be deterred by his religious political culture of living in union with his heavenly Father. Jesus was settled and secure in his identity, even though religious voices were being raised mightily against him. And we're going to talk more about this in just a moment. But he continues, verses 15 through 18. "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Jesus tells the Pharisees that they're judging him by human standards. In other words, they're using a human model or archetype to judge him. And he's referring to the principle of the law courts, whereby two credible witnesses are needed to establish the truth of a matter. And Jesus refers to this as a human standard. He's alluding to the fact that his work is spiritual in nature, not civil or criminal. A law court isn't sufficient to judge the spirituality of a person. And they need to judge him by spiritual criteria, not civil or criminal criteria. Nevertheless, Jesus plays their game, and he calls God the Father to the witness stand. Jesus says, "In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." And so in a sense here, Jesus is catching them at their own game. They too claim to believe in God. Where are their witnesses? How can they prove that God is really who he says he is? And of course, they would use Abraham and Moses as their witnesses and the long tradition of Judaism. Later, Jesus will claim that Abraham and Moses are his witnesses too, but with no avail. So, Jesus lists as his main witness God himself, the same God they believe in, the same God who revealed himself to Abraham and Moses. And to be against Jesus is to be against their own God. Jesus has this remarkable way of always turning things back toward the Pharisees and the religious leaders, something for them to chew on and to think about. Well, they question him further in verse 19. Then they asked him, "Where is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my father also." And the Pharisees try to zero in on the Lord's father, and they ask him, "Where is your father?" In other words, point him out to us. We want to see him, talk to him, ask him about you. They're still thinking by human standards. They just don't get it. Jesus is talking spiritually. They're trying to investigate him materially. He's talking about his heavenly Father, the very God they claim to believe in. Verses 21 and 22. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" Dying in sin, in this context, is dying not knowing who you really are because you don't know God. It's being lost. It's the mother of all identity crises. It's refusing to discover your identity in Christ while choosing to live from the smaller identity you've concocted from your own being, listening to cultural voices, living the cultural game, identifying with the voices of this world. And when we try to form our identity within the world system, we won't find real life there. And without Jesus, we will die not really knowing who we are. And this is the great tragedy of rejecting Christ. And we will suffer from a spiritual identity crisis that will eventually undo us. Now, the Jews somehow think Jesus is going to kill himself by saying, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." And they at least have a vague idea of what he's talking about, life outside of this one. But Jesus continues, verse 23 and 24. "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." Now, Jesus couldn't have said it any clearer. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. In other words, you don't understand that my identity and mission is not of this world. Jesus didn't give a flying flip about all the religious and political movements of his day. He didn't come to join the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, or the Essenes. That wasn't the Jesus way. He didn't come as a Republican or a Democrat. He didn't come as a Baptist, a Lutheran, or a Roman Catholic. These are realities of the world from below. He came from above. And he came to reveal God to the world. He came to save people from over-identifying with this world and to find our identity with God the Father. And like it does with us, this confused the Pharisees, who couldn't see beyond themselves, couldn't see beyond Jewish culture, beyond Judaism. Verses 25 to 27. "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "And I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his father. And the Pharisees continue to hammer away at the Lord's identity. Jesus tells them that he is who he's always said he is from the very beginning of his ministry. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. And his mission is to tell the world what God has told him to say. Verses 28 and 29. So Jesus said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Jesus tells them that when they crucify him, then they will know who he is. Why? Because God will vindicate him. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. God the Father will testify to the identity of Jesus the Son in his death, burial, and resurrection. And John tells us that as he debated the Pharisees, many believed in him. In other words, many people understood that it's not all about this life when they witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he really is from above. He's not from below. So, what is the big idea for us this morning? What is the light of Jesus trying to show us in this particular passage? Well, let's go back to verse 14. This is a crucial verse in this passage, and I want to talk about it to close our time this morning. Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going." Jesus has a clear vision of who he is. He's the Son of God. And he came from God and is going back to God. And he's come to give us a similar identity as children of God. Jesus has come to set us free from our bondage to human culture and give us a place in God's family. In Christ, we are children of God. Now, we believe this so glibly. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. And we don't understand the depth, the beauty, and the truth of knowing God as our Father. It doesn't appear to excite us. And we would rather listen to talk radio, read a romance novel, or watch a football game. But this passage is a huge development in the formation of the human self. And we simply don't give it the attention it deserves. And we typically throw verses like this away as we read them. Actually, this whole passage, I used to just throw away as I read it because I didn't fully understand it, I don't think. And it seems insignificant, of no real consequence, so we quickly toss it in the trash. And we might mention being part of the family of God at a funeral, maybe at a baptism, but we never think about it as a concept that should change the way we think and live on this earth. But this verse and the idea it contains is crucial to the formation of our identity. And let's think this through for a moment. We all suffer from forms of identity crisis. People typically go through an identity crisis when their parents die, or when their vision of life doesn't come to fruition, or when people don't take them seriously, or when they feel confused by the mystery of life, or when there's a worldwide pandemic, or when our national politicians fight and bicker about everything, or when life changes at warp speed, even though we're tired and weary already. And there are lots of reasons we go through an identity crisis, a questioning of our existence, who we are, what our life is about. And people are more confused now than perhaps ever before in human history. What are we to do? Well, let's think about our identity. And we all have the basic building blocks of our identity in place. We know we were born or adopted into a certain family. We know our name, our family history, what we like and don't like. We know the address of where we live. We know our phone number. We know the names of the people in our life. We know what we do for a living. We know we live in a state within the United States. We know that the United States is a nation within the world. We know that our world is a planet within the solar system. But everything we know is on the surface of our lives. Is there something deeper, something else? Are we more than the details of our exterior physical world? Jesus says, yes, there is something more, something way more, and he's a someone. And Jesus gives us a deeper connection point to God himself. And Jesus introduces us to God, not just as his Father, but our Father. And he invites us into the family of God. And we don't fully understand the depth, the beauty, the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. He's given us a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. He's given us an identity that can cope with the death of a loved one, an identity that can overcome our dysfunctions and disappointments, an identity that rises above the cultural chatter of American life. And as we follow Jesus, make our home in his teachings, revel at the stories of his life, we will find an eternal expression of reality that will change who we are or ever thought we could be. And it has very little to do with where you live, what you do for a living, or the location and size of your home. And people, here is the absolute beauty of Jesus. He knows who he is. And his identity is more than Mary and Joseph, his earthly family. His identity is more than a carpenter, more than a traveling rabbi, more than a Jew living in Israel, more than belonging to a religious political group like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, or the Essenes. His identity is above and beyond all that. He knows that he's God's son. An anchor deep in his soul is his relationship with God, his Father, and he's able to live above the surface of Jewish culture. He's not stuck in the superficialities of Israel. He's not just another voice among a cacophony of voices. He knows exactly who he is, who he belongs to, and what he's all about. And his relationship with the Father defines everything for him. And this is the beauty of knowing Christ. For when we know Jesus, we really begin to understand who we are. A child of God whose identity is anchored in eternity. And this, my friends, is why people believed in Jesus. He made them children of God and gave them meaning above and beyond this world. You know, we too easily make our home, our identity, in a mediated cultural reality. And we base our self-image on what others tell us it should be. And we allow everyone, from advertisers to politicians, tell us who we are. It's a shoddy, superficial, mediated form of identity. And it comes from the outside surface, not the inside depths. And Jesus came to set us free from American culture to an identity and life beyond this nation. But we cannot see that. And Jesus came to set us free from American culture, to an identity and life beyond this nation we call home. Stop finding your identity in a political party or a religious denomination or in a distinctively American lifestyle and start living from your union with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ the Son. Stop identifying with American culture and start identifying with Jesus Christ. Stop allowing American culture to dictate who you think you are and start allowing Jesus to inform you who you really are. And start living from above instead of from below. And until we understand who Jesus is and what he's done, we will forever be defining ourselves by some other lesser superficial reality. And we do that all the time, don't we? You know, the typical American Christian, like the religious leaders of Israel, over-identifies with the world system and under-identifies with Jesus. Can we just admit that? I do that, and I'm a pastor, for heaven's sake. I know you do it. I listen to the stuff you talk about. And when we over-identify with the world, we find chaos, confusion, anger, hostility, and frustration. And to over-identify with something means to engage in excessive or inappropriate psychological identification. And when we psychologically over-identify with the world, we allow all its frustrations and problems to flood our consciousness, our subconsciousness, to the point that it's all we can think about or talk about. And obviously, Jesus hasn't so flooded our consciousness and our subconscious that all we talk about is him, right? Yeah, sorry, Lord. We'd rather talk politics. We'd rather talk about some doctrinal little point that really doesn't matter much at all. But we really don't want to follow Jesus Christ and find our life in him. And we can't engage life in a higher, deeper, more fulfilling way. All we can talk about is political and religious issues that have little or nothing to do with the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. No political party is going to teach you about Jesus. You understand that? No political party is going to teach you about Jesus. No political party is following Jesus like he desires to be followed. None of them. Never have, never will. Doesn't happen. No cultural issue is going to bring you closer to God. No religious denomination has God in their back pocket. Huh? Are you kidding me? Anyone who believes in Jesus enters a personal, intimate, life-changing relationship with their Heavenly Father. Focus on that. Live from that. And start thinking and living from above and stop thinking and living from below. And when we over-identify with what's below, we will be separated from what's above. And we will live from this small little self that can't overcome the world around us. There's no life there. None at all. And so in the darkness of human culture, Jesus gives us light to see God and to see ourselves as part of God's eternal family. Jesus lets us see, as a lamp burning brightly, who we really are, children of God. And our identity is formed outside of human culture, with God, in Christ, in spirit and truth. And Jesus gives us life outside of the American culture wars, just like he gave the Jews life outside of the Jewish culture wars. Life is outside of that stuff. We can't seem to understand that. Eternal spiritual life is not found in human culture. It's found in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, we seek life all the time apart from you. And instead of abiding in you, we abide in these other places. And it's making us angry. It's discouraging. It's chaotic. It's stressful. Because, Lord, that's not where you are. It's not who you are. Lord, let us finally understand, lo, these many years we were raised as Christians, to understand that in you and only in you is eternal spiritual life for our soul. That gives us real peace. Real joy, real beauty, and shines brightly in the midst of the darkness. Lord, continue to teach us what it means to follow you and to abide in you, because we're not doing that in so many ways. And let us form our identity as God's children. And to become more than we ever thought we could be. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us. And may we never be the same for your eternal glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.